Gaming with Brett and Jace. We are a Geelong-based gaming podcast where we play games badly and then talk shit about them. And today we are delving back. It's been a while, but we are in RPG land.
And what a P to G where we are.
Yes.
I don't know if I got that vaguely right, but anyway.
We did all that of those. It is up to dear listeners to work out what those stand for.
I'm not sure that it was PG, is just my point.
No, probably not.
No, it definitely wasn't PG.
So what did we play?
We played a wonderful game called Goblin Quest, I think.
Yes. Now, this is something. So there's been some talk in the Discord and whatnot recently about RPGs and how people are curious about them and wanting to play, and nobody really has taken up too much of the preparation, let's say.
No, and look, I feel like that's, I can't necessarily throw stones in this glass house, right?
Oh, God,
because
no.
It is, I absolutely understand the preparation, but also just if you're doing this for the first time, even with good friends, the potential anxiety and pressure that organizing this puts on your one person. So I completely get that. However,
especially too with Blood Bowl and Kill Team and all those other things going on, there's only so many hours in the day for gaming.
Yeah, and I think ultimately, particularly if you're doing it for the first time, you're going to put a lot of time, effort, and preparation into it because you don't know what you're in for, right? And the only way to fix that is more preparation. But then we have that real frustrating moment where you prepare a whole bunch of really important side quests that the people doing it just completely ignore.
It's always happens, doesn't it? Dear.
Good friend of the cast and local champion of the underworld scene, Moose, however, found a really neat solution to this conundrum.
And this comes from a night where we're sitting around after Blood Bowl at Throw the Dice, and we're talking RPGs, and one of us, either Moose or myself, did, I think I might have started it with a quick Google search of easy, fun RPGs to start off with. Came across a couple of lists, and on a few of these lists was Goblin Quest. And looking Goblin Quest up, the synopsis sounded quite interesting. It's a $50-odd book or a free download, and the preparation seemed minimal.
This is it. It also doesn't actually require a DM or a games master or anyone. So you suddenly lose the pressure of that, where it kind of does its own thing. It plays itself. And so the person facilitating is also one of the people playing the game as well. So look, it's one of those things where with the right group of people, you could play this as many times as you want it, with literally nobody having to miss a game by being the person running it.
Mm-mm. And it's not one of those sort of long-winded campaigns too, where if somebody can't make a session because of, you know, life, then there's catch-up to play and what do you do with their character while they're not there and all that sort of stuff. This is a two-hour-plus game, if that.
Literal definition of one shot.
Yep.
Because it's not even just one-shot campaign. It is a one-session thing. And then the quest is done. And if you want to play it again, it's a whole new ball game.
Yep. Whole new idea, whole new things to do. So if we're giving a bit of a rundown, basically there's a little bit of prep that we all started doing when we got there. Moose handed out a couple of sheets. He had done a bit of prep by reading some of the book, which was very nice because it meant that we didn't have to. And he handed us all a sheet with, you know, five blank pictures of goblins and a whole heap of words that we had to fill in. And so the idea behind Goblin Quest is that you play a goblin and your goblin is, you know, a happy little thing that is just trying, has a very low life expectancy and is trying to do a quest to bring some sort of renown into his world before he's brutally killed in an upcoming orc war.
Yeah, the way they pitch it in the book is that there is this big sort of goblin spawning pit, and I'm reasonably sure the evil wizard who was running this was hoping for something other than goblins, but he got goblins. And the goblins spawn, and then they are sent to war on the next day. So they are, without question and without exception, brutally killed in the war. So they have one day to live. And this particular quest, whatever it is, falls on the day where they spawn and that day where they're getting ready to go to war. So that is it. And once the quest is done, the goblins all go to war and are all brutally murdered.
Because they're cannon fodder.
This is it, right? This is exactly what it is. And unlike most other games, right, where if you're playing an RPG game, you create your character singular. And your character, it does all the wonderful things. Well, goblins, they die really, really easy, right? They're small and they're frowned upon by most of their orcish society. So, and, you know, stats-wise, they have 2 hit points. So they can do, take 1 injury before they die. So that would
mean, if they're lucky.
If they're lucky, right? They can just die. But it would also mean that players were not involved in the game very quickly. So instead of having 1 orc, you have 5 little goblins that you have. And they, 1 at a time. So basically, they all have their own individual little quirks, foibles, or defining feature. They get 1 thing that's special about them, or not so special. And as a little clutch, they have a couple of things that they all have in common, a bit like a, you know, a family trait. And then as one goblin invariably falls you know, a foot of something going wrong, the next one just jumps in his place and continues along. So you've got your 5 little goblins that will take part in this quest as they go along.
So we had 4 people playing, so we were playing with 1 goblin each. So 4 goblins. And then there were 16 other goblins just watching, waiting for their opportunity to jump in and take the reins.
Even that image, right, of these 4 little goblins trying to do something fundamentally stupid and 16 other goblins hiding probably very badly in plain sight, waiting for one of them to fall down and trip over and sprain an ankle so they could, you know, club him on the head and take his place. Just like, I got giggles just with that concept throughout the whole game.
The game itself, like, not talking about the how it's played and, you know, the structure of the game and all that sort of stuff, but the actual idea of the game and the playing of the game is so stupid. It's just silly and fun.
It is very much written with that concept in mind, that you are there to do silly things and have a laugh and have some fun. And it very much, you know, leans into that very strongly. And if you're happy to run with this concept that you're a ridiculous little goblin who's probably going to die the next time he tries to do literally anything in the world, and just run with it and try silly stuff and giggle, like, that's how you enjoy this game. It is not a power meta gaming, I'm going to, you know, subclass into 3 levels of rogue before I go back into barbarian so I can Nope, none of that. None. It's the best.
Yeah. So we sat down at the table and we got given these sheets and, like I said, there's 5 outlines for your goblins and you get to name them all and give them all a defining feature, as you said. There's also the honorific or the last name that all of your five goblins share, as well as their expertise and a little quirk and their overall collective dream, as well as their ancestral heirloom that they all seem to be carrying about, that obviously being goblins is nothing overly special in the first place.
Yeah.
So this is all the prep there is, really. We had to name our guys, work out our quirks and stuff.
To be honest, the other piece of very important prep that took longer than literally anything else was the drawing and colouring in of said goblins. And luckily for us, Moose came prepared with a big old packet of the old Crayola, like the Zoom crayons.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've missed those.
Some of us were more artistic than others.
I mean, Alice did get very carried away.
Yes. But, I mean, I did very basic pictures, but I did very basic ideas behind my goblins. So, I mean, going through them, my first goblin, first off the ranks, his name was Knee Pads, and his defining feature was he had pink knees. And I thought that was nice. Second up, the first goblin in waiting, let's say, was Jockstrap, and he had genital warts as his defining feature. And this is me just putting in the features without knowing anything about what they are. Next up was Shin Pads. He was clumsy. Then there was Big Nose, and his defining feature was that he had a very small nose. So I drew big noses for everyone else and a very small one for him. And then last but not least, we had Junior, who was very, very tall for a goblin.
Yeah, and in very similar vein, so with zero understanding of the game or context, I started making up goblins. And so I had Dragut, who's had very cracky knees.
Mm-hmm.
And then our first goblin in waiting was Lickit, who randomly hums.
Yep.
We had Tasteit, who had one really sharp tooth. Squishit, who had very long ear hair, and Vomit, who had kind of a deep voice for a goblin.
My honorific for this was, I mean, like I said, it's the effective last name of all these goblins. My honorific for all my guys was the not appearing in this RPG.
Yeah.
My expertise was that they were easily forgotten. My quirk was that they all seem to emphasize the wrong word in a sentence. And their dream was to find a genie's lamp to wish for more dreams.
And did you have an ancestral heirloom?
I did. I brought two because I had no idea, because Moose was saying something about putting them in a bag, and I thought it was like a randomly take things out or things like that. But, so my ancestral heirloom was the gambling chip of boobies, in which I had a $5 Hooters gambling chip from Las Vegas.
Glorious. So, yeah, my honorific, so the family name was Ink, as in feel good. The expertise, their family trait was making loud noises to draw attention to themselves. Their quirk was they actually think other people like said noises. Their dream was just one great hoedown. And my ancestral heirloom, which really spawned this whole thought, is I had a guitar pick in my pocket, so I had a twangy disc of plucking.
With a perfect name.
Yeah.
So the idea behind Goblin Quest is that you take every player's goblins and their dream, and you try and come up with some sort of quest which will fulfill all of their dreams. And so we had a couple of dreams. I think Alice's was to...
collection of feathers.
Have an amazing collection of feathers. And Moose's one was to find something completely useless.
Yeah, which turned out to be trickier than I expected. That was a fun one.
Yes. So somehow we had to incorporate all four of those into the one dream.
Mm-hmm.
which we decided was basically to, I mean, you can't, it, the game has a map, it shows you all the places that these goblins can go, and we decided to have this hoedown of yours at the inn.
Yeah.
And hopefully pick up things along the way that were either useless or feathers or genie lamps.
All of those things made perfect sense to us at the time. I feel like with some, like, playing this again, it would be how can we really take those different things and somehow craft one super quest to really do it. But look, for our first time, I think it gave us something to start with because we just wanted to start. So
yeah, I think for me, the big thing that I took away from this is that potentially all this sort of one page, it's one sheet of an A4, one-sided. But if we did that sort of beforehand, then we could really sort of collectively come up with a unique dream or quest that incorporated all those dreams.
And I think it would be fun to do it separately as well. So these completely, you know, random things you had to smash together.
Yep.
Like there was no chance of influencing each other or going, oh, that's a good idea. I'll kind of build on that. But yeah, again, it would take up less time again and you could get straight into the playing, which would be fun. So but the overall quest, right, is made up of three tasks. And three tasks have three stages each. So they're basically, what, nine things that you need to fulfill to be able to complete your quest. And that's
less than two a goblin.
That is, bar the basic mechanics, literally all of the game.
Yes. So the idea was you had to take this dream that you'd built or this quest that you'd built out of the dreams and separate it into three distinct tasks and then three distinct stages of each of those tasks. And then as the game goes on, they get progressively harder to achieve, which is simply the number of people playing plus one for task two, I think it was, and plus two for task three.
And then
very,
just
very simple.
Fun. And then just as super fun, everybody had one bad thing that happened to each of them at a random time. So it was like a random bad thing happened at a random time for everybody.
And for each task.
Just got slotted in somewhere throughout that, which was fun. So the way this played out is our concept of summoning a genie via hoedown in the inn. We went, well, they're not going to let us as goblins into an inn. We're goblins, so we better dress up. So we had to find a trench coat, as every good dress up has. We wanted some boots, but not just any boots. They needed to be dazzling. They needed to be proper hoedowns. So we needed dazzling boots and a big hat, I think was what I wrote, but I think there was multiple interpretations of what the headdress was.
I put face covering.
There we go.
Bruce put veiled hat. So there was something for the head.
Something heady. So that was step one, basically, was our disguise. Step two.
The idea behind that disguise is that we'd wander into the inn, four goblins standing on top of each other in a trench coat.
See? The plan, it forms. Step two, though, for a hoedown, you need a band. So we needed to find that band. So our tasks here were we needed to find some musicians, some players. We probably needed to find some instruments, and then somehow we needed to find a sense of rhythm. That was our second part of this. And once we had our disguise and we had our band, we actually had to commence the hoedown. And then, so for that to happen, the idea was we actually had to get into the inn, step one. Step two, start the hoedown. And then step three was dance until a genie appears.
Yep. See, I had slightly different written down for that because I saw the pun straight away. So stage one for me was get in, with the first in being spelt with two N's and the second one with only one. And stage three was join in with two N's. Just taking it as silly as we could possibly do it.
You've got to. I was going to at some point when I did write get in, see how many words I could put in a sentence during that whole thing. But It got very complicated very quickly. So that was the concept, right? That is the game. That is all the setup you've got. And then it is really just the base mechanics and go.
Mm-hmm.
So base mechanics, which I feel like you got a handle on really quickly.
It was very, very straightforward. So we all had our little token. So your guitar pick, my Las Vegas gambling chip. And basically we all get to choose what we were doing. And it's like an RPG. It's you're making up what your character is trying to do, and then you're rolling a dice for it to see if they were successful or not, right? And then as you did your thing, your token would go into a bag or whatever. We just used a little, you know, cup. And so everybody had to have a turn before somebody could have a second turn. So as soon as all four of us had gone, and it didn't matter what order we went in, but all four of us had to go before one of us could take that second turn. So you get to the end of the fourth person, tip them all out again, start afresh. Pretty straightforward.
And then, so the dice rolls. Basically, you said, I'm going to do a thing. It doesn't actually matter what the thing was. Now, you got to then roll a dice to see if you did it. If you could think of a reason based on your expertise or your little goblin's defining feature that you were going to be particularly good at that thing, you could roll an extra dice and you could roll two dice. But basically,
or your quirk, you could go up to three.
You get wild, right? But the way this played out was if you rolled a one, you died.
That's it. Straight up two damage. You did.
Yeah, you cactus, right? Also, the thing didn't work.
Yes.
If you roll a two, you're injured and the thing. So you take one of your two little hit points worth of damage. If you roll a three, you don't take injuries, but a bad thing happens. So what this means is basically whatever you're trying to do, A, didn't work, and you have to describe what that bad thing that happened was, and the next person to roll dice gets a negative to their roll.
Negative one for each three.
Yep. Nice and easy. You roll a four, a good thing happens. You still haven't succeeded here, but a good thing happened, which means the next person to roll a dice gets a positive to their dice roll. Nice and simple. Five, success. It's a win. You've done the thing that you tried to do. And number six was like a glorious success. So if you roll a six here, it's amazing. It's the best thing in the world. And not only have you done the thing, but we get positives and stuff as well. You're rolling more than one dice, which is a thing that you can do. Both of those things happen. So you can have a glorious success and die. Yes. And then when you roll those dice, you need to then describe how you gloriously succeeded and died. And what happened there. And then the next little goblin comes in and takes over. And then the only other part here is every goblin has a lucky ear. This is one of the optional rules that we chucked in, which basically meant every goblin could tear off his left ear for a free reroll. You rerolled all of the dice. You took all of the next result.
Yeah, a lot of times that didn't work out too well for me. I usually rolled worse on the second try. Going back to the positives, negatives, the dice rolls and things like that. So say you rolled two dice. You said, okay, well, my guy is going to do this and his defining feature helps him do it. You roll two dice. You get two threes.
Mm-hmm.
Next person decides to roll X amount of dice. But because you got two threes and two bad things happened, they're negative two to each of their dice. Vice versa, if you got two fours, they would be plus two to each of their dice. And if you rolled a three and a four, they cancel each other out. Nothing happens. The other thing was a difficulty level, which is what you needed to do each task. So, like I said, started off as the number of players, so four. And then every time you roll a six, that difficulty goes down by two. So you need to get that to zero before you can move on to the next task. So you need to be rolling sixes.
Which means you need to roll dice.
Yeah.
And rolling dice is bad because goblins die really quickly.
But also fun because they die in hilarious ways that you can make up.
And it is that piece, right, that So our very first task as an example here was to find a trench coat. One person could theoretically say, well, I'm going to look for a trench coat, roll a six. Well, sure, you found a trench coat, but we haven't finished our task yet because our difficulty isn't down to zero. So how do you not quite have it? What's wrong with it? What happens to means that you can't move on to the next step? So that's how it kind of keeps the game moving without you just going, well, I do the thing, I rolled a six, there we go, we move on. Because you also have to get that difficulty rating down to zero to move on to the next step.
I think that trench coat was probably one of the best examples too, because we ended up going to a rubbish pile and Moose, who is very good at finding things, decided to roll two dice. And he got a success, a six, and he also got a three, so something bad happened. And what we decided happened was that he was rummaging around and throwing rubbish everywhere, that all this rubbish sort of fell on top of us and worked out to be in exactly the same sort of shape that we needed for a trench coat. But then to actually fix it up, we needed to fasten it somehow. So that was what we came up with for the next part.
And the bad thing was we were covered in shit.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why it was a negative to the next roll, because you were busy trying to wipe the garbage and muck out of your eyes. So that's kind of how it went. And that is as simple as the game goes. But let us now regale you with the tale of our little goblins. to the best of our ability to remember, because it was a little bit fast and furious. And I'm not 100% sure exactly what happened at every step of the way. But, oh, my God, we laughed.
We did indeed. So, first three tasks. So, we had to dress up. So, we got that trench coat out of the rubbish. We ended up basically stabbing a button on it eventually, I think it was. I think we failed a couple of times before we got that whatever we did to fasten it. Then we needed dazzling boots.
Yeah. Now, there was a cobbler.
There was, which was very appropriate. He was on the map and everything.
So we wandered over to the cobbler and we're like, well, how are we going to get these boots off a cobbler? He's not going to give boots to a cobbler. I'm like, have we tried asking him? So we did. We tried asking him and we got a success. And holy hell, we've got boots, but we can't because we haven't rolled enough sixes. So what's gone on? Well, actually, the cobbler kind of looked at us amused and grunted at some offcuts of leather in the corner and went, there you go. And we're goblins. We don't know that boots need a sole. Like, that's fine. That amounts to boots for us. But you know what they weren't? They weren't dazzling. And they absolutely needed to be dazzling for us to move on.
What we had down on the stage. So it had to happen.
So we went to find something to bedazzle these boots with. Fuck, this took a long time.
This was probably the one we had the most trouble with, was we ended up in another sort of refuse area, which happened to be near a mine. So we thought we'd just sort of start jumping out and, you know, trying to get offcuts of diamonds from orcs that had been
from memory. From memory, we went to the lake to try and throw some rocks in, because if a rock is wet, it's a bit shiny. Mm-hmm. And then that didn't work. So we went to a rubbish pile again, because Moose is like, oh, like, this is fine. I can find things. I'm good at finding stuff. I'll dive into this rubbish pile. But he dove onto something sharp and spiky and impaled himself in the first one.
That was a death.
That didn't happen. What are we going to do? Oh, well, there's a mine over here. So let's go hide near the mine, and as somebody orc comes out with something a bit shiny that he's found, we'll jump out and scare him, and he'll drop a thing, and then we can put it on our boots and it'll be happy days. And so we tried that a number of times.
We weren't having too much success with these orcs that kept on wandering down from the mine.
And then I'm reasonably sure that about that's the point that my first orc died, because something or other happened. And I was definitely murdered by an orc, which is where this came from, because I can't remember the exact scenario, but all I have here is means of death, which is a very important thing to record. Turkey slapped by an orc. So at some stage, I've upset said orc, who has decided to... Oh, we were talking about his jewels.
Yes.
And I think I may have insulted him, and so he decided to show me up close. But that killed me.
I think he was doing the helicopter.
Yeah. And so, but this was one of those scenarios where I rolled two dice, and one was death, and one was a good thing happened. And so the way this played out was my little guy, taking the full brunt of the orc helicopter to the face, was immediately killed. However, the stubble on his head grazed the orc as well, who was not impressed with this newfound pain and decided to leave the rest of them alone.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of way that you can play multiple dice doing multiple things.
A lot, yeah, it was very much you roll a dice, you say what you're doing, you roll a dice, you come up with the storyline. And this is why they didn't need to be some sort of dungeon master or GM, because we're all creating as we go along. And the creation part, you know, putting that effort in and thinking of what's happening, that's what makes a memorable story.
Yeah. And because it lent into the silliness, you didn't need someone taking us back on track. Everybody just leans. It's like a bobsled.
Yeah. Now, I think what we did was we eventually managed to scare one orc, and he dropped a couple of off-cut diamonds or something, and we used the sliminess that was one of Moose's characters to stick the jewels onto the sole or the off-cuts that we had to make our dazzling boots. The next part was the face covering, and this is where the first bad thing happened. And we had to roll dice for this before, and this was the one that I rolled. So it was a random event, so it was going to be one of those stages that this happened, and it was a random event. And what I rolled was two orcs come along and interrupt the quest by having a brawl.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at this stage, I think you'd lost one. I think Moose had lost one, and Alice had lost one. I was the only one left with one guy, with my original guy. So I was feeling quite good. And we decided that these two orcs having a brawl were actually newlyweds, and were having an argument about something. I mean, but being newlyweds, one of them had a veil.
And so they were still in their full wedding attire.
Oh, yes. Whether they're male and female or whatever, or androgynous, whatever orcs are, we didn't go that far. But we then started to try desperately to get this veil off the so-called bride.
We tried counseling. We tried
this. We tried pickpocketing, which is where I lost my first one.
Yeah. We tried an all-out assault. That don't think that ended too well either.
No, I think we ended up with one goblin on the back. I think it was one of Moose's, actually, on the back of the goblin holding on to the veil for dear life, but still on top of the orc's head.
But kind of stuck there with the veil. It was one of those success and bad thing happened scenarios. So he had the veil, but he was stuck on top of the brawling orc.
Yep.
And so then we had to spend a bunch of time trying to get him down.
Yes. And, yeah, I think, my second guy, my little jockstrap with his genital warts, tried to distract them by, saying, does this look infected to you? And that dice roll did not go well.
No. I also had an orc that didn't make it through this stage. And, again, I can't remember exactly which dice roll and which scenario it was. But, again, means of death, I just have spit roast.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So the newlyweds stopped fighting for a little bit there.
Yes. Jockstrap ended up becoming an orc shoe because I think he got kicked so hard in the genital wards that the foot went through him and started wearing.
He's sick.
Stupid, stupid ideas. Like, this game is as dumb as you want to make it. And
if there's one thing we're happy to do. Oh, shit. Somehow, though, eventually through, I think it was actually through Alice, we managed to get down somehow down from the orc head. Moose got his little goblin down with the veil. And then Alice, who was really good at hiding, hit us under the cloak.
Yep.
Before, or the trench coat, before she got distracted by another feather.
Yeah, so at this point, I mean, we've successfully done the first task. And we've lost quite a few goblins at this point.
I'm down two, yeah.
I'm down two as well. And yeah, look, it's looking interesting. I was thinking, how are we even going to get to task three? But we started up and we're like, okay, well, now I need to find a band. And the first idea of that was we needed to ID that band. And do you remember how this happened? Because I'm a bit hazy on this one.
It was a scenario that we're like, all right, well, if we go and maybe there'll be music around the inn. So if we go and loiter around there for a little bit, let's see what we can do. And then Alice just randomly goes, I'm going to convince you all that you are the band.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of the dice roll that made it.
Yes.
And from that point on, we believed. We saw that light
so hard.
We would say, so that was a relatively straightforward success because we found the players after we'd hunted around for a little bit and we tried to approach randoms and it didn't end so well. And Alice went, well, maybe it's us. Maybe it's been us all along. And that little goblin heart of hearts, we knew that was true. But we needed some instruments.
Well, before we had the instruments, we needed a name for the band because we still hadn't successfully completed this task. But one dice roll from you.
No, it was two.
I know.
It was the best. Okay. Oh.
I believe you used an ear on this, didn't you?
Absolutely used an ear on.
I think while Alice was either getting dinner or in the bathroom or something, yes, she'd left the table.
Yeah.
And I don't think she was overly impressed when she got back.
That she pulled a face that I will never forget.
Because what did you roll and what did you want to name the band?
I mean, firstly, like this is one of those things, actually not an important action, but we needed to roll some dice. So we're like, what else can we do? Well, this band needs a name. But my very first attempt at this was not a good, and I can't remember whether I died or anything, but for not a very important role, I was very determined for this to happen. So I tore off my left ear and went, no, I'm going to make this happen. And I used that little lucky ear to re-roll. And it did. And it was a violent success. And the band had been named. I still have Alice's face.
Jason's losing it on the other end of this. He's leaning back in his chair. He's shaking his head. He's waving me on. All right. So Jason's name that he came up with for the band was the Contra Band.
Oh, it wasn't that funny until Alice made the face.
Yep.
Like it was. Yeah.
And asked if it was really worth losing an ear about.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And I stand by that. The Contra Band were born and we had found the players for our band, but now we needed instruments. Oh, that was glorious. So we were standing outside an inn and literally on the little picture of the inn, there's a building and there's a couple of little bins. And we're standing next to the bins and we're like, what if we found some bins to kind of hit as drums? And so we went, right, I'm going to search for these. And so
it
Moose
was
went,
at this point that the second bad thing came. Like, it was another orc just wandering in for another reason. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was, but you know, we're these little goblins trying to create a hoedown, and we're just orcs everywhere. It's getting very irritating.
Bugbears and dogs and stuff. All I remember from this is Moose going, "I'm good at finding things. I'll find the bins. I'm going to look for the bins," and rolling a one. And explaining that he had dove into the bin looking for instruments or the bin to bang on, but unfortunately it was filled with the matter that they'd collected from the wild hunting dogs or whatever, and he had drowned.
No, that was me. That was clumsy.
Oh, that was you.
That was my clumsy shin pads. He drowned in dog piss. And yeah, like, because I thought, you know, bins, drums, yeah, we've got an idea here. Like, this should be relatively easy. No, I died.
And we tried a number of times to find the bins that we were standing directly in front of, with an orc getting in the way, and I can't remember doing whatnot and everything. And we ended up giving up looking for the bins directly in front of us. And that was about the time that Alice decided that she was going to be and play the drums.
Yeah.
And she again succeeded that one. And we kind of had a little bit of a lucky run at this point in time from memory.
We did indeed. So every time somebody decided that they were going to play a certain instrument or whatever, it seemed to succeed straight away. So we have Alice's goblin playing drums on his stomach. We have, I think the only one that failed was you and your tooth.
Yeah.
You were trying to play your tooth, but then Moose jumped in and said, "Well, I can try and play his tooth."
Yeah.
And then that was a success.
Spoons somehow. And so I was playing spoons and being an instrument.
Yeah.
And you were the vocalist somehow.
I was the vocalist because I was emphasizing the wrong word in every sentence. And somehow that worked as well. So we have our band.
Yeah.
We know our instruments. Now it's a matter of getting rhythm.
We needed to play together. Yeah. And again, that took a few goes. I can't remember all of the detail that was involved in that one, but it definitely took a couple of goes of being like, "Oh shit, how else can we possibly have rhythm?" And I think we ended up with some kind of conductor situation and maybe a count in from Alice and lots of different ways that we tried. Eventually though, this happened and we're like, great, we have our costume. We've got our instruments. We're ready to go. Now we are ready for task three. This is our big finish.
Yeah.
This is the final act.
We have to be a hoeder.
And then step one of the hoedown was to get in.
Yes. Get our little trench coat, get our little goblin tower happening. And
we hadn't done this before. We'd had our trench coat and we'd been dragging it around, but we hadn't actually fully adorned it. So we had to quickly work out who was going to be what part of the trench coat and the goblin. And I think Alice ended up as the legs. I was the ass.
Moose was the head.
Moose was the neck, and which is exactly how the human anatomy is generally formed: head, neck, ass, legs.
Yep.
Nothing in between.
But this had some very interesting roles from me. So it was at this point that I failed miserably, and I was about to lose my fourth goblin, where Moose said, "Oh yeah, there's another rule I haven't told you guys about," where another goblin can jump in and heroically save another goblin by sacrificing themselves.
And you get a reroll.
You get a reroll with a plus one on all the results.
Mm-hmm.
So he hadn't lost anyone since the first one. So the scaly goblin decided to be a hero and save my big nose. who then proceeded to fail at least maybe one or two rolls after that. So he fell off the goblin pyramid that we were trying to form anyway and killed himself. So I'm down to my last goblin at this stage. But eventually we get in the inn.
We do. And that was the time that the next bad thing happened. And all it said was, that goblin coming towards you definitely isn't a wizard in disguise.
Seems legit.
Yeah. Now, there is nothing in that that says it was a wizard in disguise or it was actually a goblin.
That is up to your interpretation.
Being a wizard disguised as a goblin. And I'm not sure which is more likely at this point in time. But this is about the time that we had to try and distract him. And so our plan here was we would feign some kind of irritable digestive system and go to the bathroom because he wouldn't want to talk to four goblins in a trench coat with an irritable bowel. But again, I don't have all of the details of the roll, but I do have taste it with his really sharp tooth and the means of death, just IBS. So anyway, we somehow managed to circumvene that scenario, minus a goblin. And that was just start hoedown.
So I think at this point, how many goblins are you down to?
I've got my last two.
Yeah, I think that's what Alice was as well.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely what Moose is as well, because his third one choked on the foot of one of my goblins and died. And I'm down to my last one. And
these are the most two difficult tasks.
Yes. Because the numbers that you have to roll to, or the number of sixes you have to roll to actually complete them, is the highest. It's also very nearly closing time at Throw the Dice.
And we were trying to rush to let everybody sort of close and get home as well. So we're like, we got to make this thing happen.
Yep. And again, dice kind of went in our favor.
She's right. Well, I'm going to start playing this and I'm going to start playing this and I'm going to do this. And they just came up and all of a sudden there was some toe tappings and some knee slappings. And we had ourselves a right royal little hoedown going on in a little inn in Goblin Orc Town.
And we were getting people involved and things were starting to happen.
Somebody spotted a lamp.
Yes, there was a lamp spotted, Genie's lamp spotted behind the bar that we had to get to. And we got down to, we needed one more roll to succeed in our quest. One more six, that's all we needed. And this was your idea, wasn't it? It was definitely your roll.
It was absolutely. And so the way this played out is we need our last success for this to happen. And we've got our hoedown going and everyone's playing along. We're starting to dance around and we need to dance ourselves a genie is what I had. And I'm like, you know, there is no better ending dance routine. Now, I always get the two movies confused, but I think it's Dirty Dancing. It's Patrick Swayze one, right?
Yep.
And so the way this played out is at the first roll here was Alice made eyes at the goblin disguised as a wizard or wizard disguised as a goblin and convinced him through just through eye contact that he was going to be up for this and he needed to be a part of this historic moment in goblin history. And that was the first six that came up. And then the last six that came up is my little goblin ran across the floor and leapt as he caught him Dirty Dancing style. And we had the time of our lives. I'd already used my ear by this stage. There's no rerolls. Mm-hmm. We need a six for this to succeed. And frankly, we need this to be the defining manner of this. And I rolled that dice and I slammed down the cup and I waited just a second and I lifted up the cup and there was a six hidden under it. And it was the greatest moment of goblin history as little goblin leapt onto the goblin wizard in disguise caught him.
I think at that point we made too much noise for the store.
And we did get asked to tone it down a little bit because yep. the people who live upstairs would get very upset by the amount of noise coming out of a retail store at 10 o'clock at night. Oh, but God,
justified noise. Justified noise. Of all the ways it could have finished, that was just, it was beautiful. It was so well done. It was such a fun little game. And by God, I'd play it again.
I have not laughed that hard in such a long time. It was glorious. Like, I will play that again in a heartbeat. Yes. So
it was so simple. It's like, what do you want to do? Roll a dice.
Yeah.
Do you want to roll more than one dice? Can you justify it?
Yes. Sometimes no.
Then that's it. And then just make the story up as you go along. And yes, our story in places was a little bit less or more than PG.
But it could literally be anything that you wanted to be, and that was kind of the fun bit. And, you know, we had a little bit of a chat afterwards around how the game would go. But I honestly think if you have a semi-like-minded group of individuals that are happy to be silly, like, this is an absolute hoot of an evening. As long as you're somewhere where you're allowed to make a little bit of noise.
You need a couple of D6s. You need a copy of the book. Now, that could be the $50 hardback version, or it could be the
free
Adobe
download.
Photoshop. Free download. Absolutely free. And that's it. You need an imagination.
And it's got suggestions. Like, there are very few actual rules in this. There is just, here's, if you can't think of something, here's some starters for you to go with. And you can either pick from the list of things because you haven't thought of something better, or you can come up with your own. And then it's just, you know, you make your own adventure. You make your own quest. You make your own tasks based on that. And then you go through and go, well, how the hell would a bunch of little goblins with zero clue, literally born yesterday, do this?
And that's all up to you.
I did try to explain it to my wife. Because I came home very enthused with my little coloured in goblins. And she's like, what the fuck have you been doing?
No, we're not playing with dollies. We're playing colouring in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Craft corner was the best.
So, Goblin Quest. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Definitely recommend.
It was good. Just find some friends, get the free rules, and just giggle. Just giggle for an evening. Like, that is legitimately what this is about. Tell a stupid-ass story. And yeah, it's great because stuff can go wrong, and it can go completely, utterly, and hilariously wrong. And it's okay because there's another little goblin there to jump in and fill up the pit. It doesn't stop the story progressing.
And this is exactly what we wanted out of an RPG, especially like a first easing in RPG sort of session. It's, you know, the imagination was there, the rolling dice was there, the coming up with a story of your character and all that sort of stuff was there. But there was no hard things and tables that you needed to turn to, or, you know, what do I need to roll on a D20?
Yeah, it also didn't mean that one person had to come up with a lot of responses to everyone else's things.
Yep.
Like, something happened and then the next person to do a thing had to continue the story. And then the next person to do something had to continue the story. So again, it wasn't this whole piece of I roll a dice and then the games master or the dungeon master says this stuff happens. and then someone else, and then they goes back to them who says, this is what happens. Like, everybody equally contributed to the thing that was happening. And I think that took a lot of the pressure off as well, and let everybody just, again, lean into the silly.
It was very much, and I think I said this afterwards, it was very much the RPG equivalent of Gloom, where Gloom's a card game that you play, you know, clear plastic playing cards on top of other playing cards, and, you know, you're basically trying to get the lowest score possible and trying to increase your opponent's scores. And you can do that. And you could totally play this game like that and just play the game. But the idea, the real idea behind Gloom is that you play a card and you tell a story about how that card happened. You know, the card might say that this person drowned in cheese fondue. But if you tell the story, that gives it a bit more emphasis. Same here. You're telling the story and you're creating stuff and coming up with, okay, well, I've just rolled a 3. What does that mean? How can I turn this into something stupid for the storyline? Yeah, loved it.
It was glorious. And, you know, it was one of those ones that sometimes, you know, you're there going, oh, shit, a bad thing happens. What are we going to do? I don't know. I got a cramp. There we go. I stubbed a toe. Or then there was some moments where people came up with absolute gold and it didn't matter because the effect of the game is the same.
Yep.
It's just how much fun you're having with it along the way. But, you know, we also chatted about, you know, could you run this over like a chat, an online video channel or something? Absolutely, I reckon you could.
Yep.
And again, it would just be an evening of silly with whoever wanted to get involved. So, I would absolutely be down for it again. There are spin-offs. I think there's a Kobold Quest as a spin-off.
Oh, is there?
Yeah. Similar concept. But you could do, I think you could quite happily play that again and know that it would not be anything like the first one.
Yep. And that's the thing, you've got X amount of people coming up with their own dream that they're trying to achieve with their 5 goblins. You put X amount of dreams together and somehow create a narrative. And that narrative is not going to be the same.
Absolutely glorious. As I said, I have not laughed like that in a while. I have not been told I've been too loud playing a game.
No, it has been quite some time. But yeah, just awesome, awesome game. Thank you very much, Moose, for organizing it. It was a night to remember.
Yeah.
Shall we move on? Anything else you want to say?
No, that is it.
Ooh, all right. Thoughtless Bowl. Number 5. We are selling tickets. The players pack is up. We are booked and ready to go 1st of June. Get your tickets in early, people, so that we can turn that into prize after prize after prize. $25 gives you a fun-filled day of Sevens Blood Bowl.
What it says on the tin, there is no real quirks, surprises, or unusual things that you wouldn't expect from a normal day of Blood Bowl Sevens. So it's a good one if it's your first tournament and you just want to rock up and see what it's about. You don't have to think about extra rules and things. You've got some time to practice with your team ahead of schedule. And if you are a little bit more into serious Blood Bowl, but you want to play something fast and furious, again, there's nothing wacky throwing you off your game, so you can actually play a Blood Bowl. There will be prizes for the people who finish well, but, you know, there'll be some other stuff that we'll chuck in as well.
Yeah. Our usual thing, you know, there will be something that everybody walks away with.
Yeah.
Which is the way we want to do it, because I never expect to and never do win any tournaments that I attend. And I want free stuff. So that's what we do for you. And next episode, we will be wrapping up the paint a thing.
Finish a thing. Yes. Finish a thing has finished, basically, because, well, it is now the end of the month of March has finished, and so Finish a Thing is finished, and hopefully you have finished some things that you had started before.
By the time you listen to this, and by the time Jace gets around to uploading it, the finished thing will be finished, and more finished stuff. And we'll finish an episode about finishing stuff, and what the finished products that you finished.
I wonder how many finished things that people finished, because we may need to finish more than one episode. So we had to do that last time, and we may not finish the Finisher Thing episode until we finish the second Finisher Thing episode. We will almost have the Unfinished Thing episode.
Correct.
If that's the case.
Correct. Interesting.
We'll see.
Anyway, until then, give us a follow on Facebook, Spotify, Podbean, Twitch, OnlyFans, YouTube. What else are we on? Instagram.
Probably some of those, you know, music sharing places.
Yeah. We get around. We get around more than we know we get around. Let's put it that way. And as always, thank you very much to our Patreons. These are the people that throw us a couple of bucks a month to help us do prize support and, you know, pay for cool stuff for everyone to hopefully enjoy. As always, thank you to our thoughtless Patreons, the silliest, most insane.
They may just be goblins on a quest.
They may be. There's more than five of them, though. Alice, Archie, Clinton, Gertzi, Jared, Kingsley, and Yuri, thank you very much for partaking in this insane, stupid quest with us.
Yeah, there is more than five of them, but each of them aren't on. They've got five goblins each, right?
Okay. It's a plethora of goblins waiting to jump in when Yuri takes a slip and fall and becomes an orc spit roast. On that note,
again,
laters.
See ya.